Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the We're Having a Good Time podcast. My name's Dusty Slay, and I'm your host, and I'm excited to be here. Hey, this weekend, should be tonight when this podcast comes out, I'll be in Auburn, Alabama at the Gogue Center, and then next week I'll be at Binghamton, New York, and Buffalo, New York. Binghamton, New York, and Buffalo, New York. Then Reading, Pennsylvania, and Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, I believe. Yes, Wilkes. So that's just a few things coming up. All weekend shows, you can find all that at dustyslay.com. I've just been trying to be on top of giving those dates at the beginning of the show, just so, you know, you're familiar with where I'm going, and pumped about it, dustyslay.com. This podcast is now on YouTube, which is doing very well. I'm very excited. When I went from posting just audio to video, I was very nervous about it, because when I just post audio podcast, only I can see those numbers. I'm sure there's somebody that knows how to grab the numbers, but for the most part, I'm only seeing how many people are watching it. But when you go to YouTube, everyone sees, and you don't want low numbers. I mean, you all got to build from somewhere, right? We all have to start somewhere, but nobody wants low view numbers. It doesn't look good. But I'm very excited with the views. I mean, for some people, these are low view numbers, but I'm very excited about it. So thank you guys for watching the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. And if you're in it, like I say, it is on YouTube now. So if you've not seen it there, go check it out. And if you're watching on YouTube now, subscribe to the channel. Click the bell for notifications, as they say. Give the video a like, share it with a friend, or you don't have to do any of those things, but because I appreciate you tuning in no matter what. And I got a couple of my things back on the wall. I got my Steve Martin poster back on the wall and my horses running in a field. I got a little depth. I also got my YouTube plaque for where I hit 100,000 subscribers. I feel like putting that up there somehow gets you some reward from YouTube, so that's why it's up there. And I am happy with it. I mean, that shows that people have subscribed to my channel. We're at about 150,000 now, so that's very exciting. But it's great. Everything's going good. I appreciate you guys. I just got back from Biloxi, Mississippi. I'd never been to Biloxi. I did a show at the Beau Rivage Casino in Biloxi, Mississippi, and I thought it was great. If you live in the Southeast, there's no need to go to Vegas. Now, Vegas has shows and things like that. If you really want to see the shows, I think Vegas is still the place. But if you're just into gambling and you want a little comedy, I think Biloxi is where it's at. I think they have seven or eight casinos. They got beachfront property. I don't know that I would go into the beach. I'd like to get into that a little bit into the podcast. But, you know, I just want to say there were people down there, people from my hometown that traveled to come to the show, and people from Nashville that traveled to come to the show, and people that traveled from further than that came to see my show. And I appreciate it. Thank you so much, because I know that when you do that sort of thing, a lot of times you get babysitters, you rent cars, you pay gas, you pay for flights, you pay for hotels, and you do all those things to come see my show. And while I've done that in the past, I remember traveling to see Hank Williams Jr. play. I remember traveling to see Matchbox 20 play. I traveled to... Well, I didn't do it a ton, but I remember doing it. I traveled to watch wrestling events. I think we went to Montgomery or Birmingham to watch ECW back in the day, Wrestlepalooza. I traveled to Columbus, Georgia many times to watch wrestling. So while I've done that, it feels weird to be on the other end of that, to be someone that people are traveling to see. And I appreciate it. In Biloxi, I set a new record for myself. I did an hour and 24 minutes. I think up until that point, my record was an hour and 22 minutes. So it was a new record, and it feels good. I mean, I do want to get up to an hour and a half. That's kind of what I'd like to do. As long as I'm doing, if you see me in a club, it's probably going to be right around an hour. But if you see me in a theater, my show will probably be about an hour and 20 minutes long. Now, I'd like to get to an hour and a half. That'd be ultimately my goal. So, at some point in life, when I'm an older comedian, I think the thing to do would have one person do 10 minutes in front of me, and then I do the rest. Sorry. I am selling my old house right now. My real estate agent just messaged me something. But I, my goal would be to do, an hour and hour and a half and have someone just do 10 minutes on the show. And then they'd just be a long show like that. I heard that, you know, there were various comics that did that sort of thing. Some that were doing 2-hour shows. And I guess depending on the size of the show, that might be something to look into as well. I just like it. I mean, I sometimes I find it hard to start the show. Starting the show is the hardest thing. Once you're into it, the crowd's already into what you're doing. You've built up a rapport with that particular audience. It's like the hard work is done. Now you're just telling jokes. Now you're just having fun. So that's what I like doing. And I really had a lot of fun in Biloxi. Like I say, I'd never been, but I had a lot of fun. My friend from Nashville was down, him and his wife. I had a friend from Auburn and her husband. And a couple of my Opelika friends were there. And it was cool. We all hung out after. Connor Larson opened for me. Very funny. Connor always does a great job. Very funny guy. It was awesome. But I wanted to talk about, let's just start with this. I want to try to get back to the Mississippi thing. I posted this last night on X, and I just had this thought, and people responded. I got a lot of response on Threads and on X. I am officially now calling it X. It's been long enough. Twitter's never coming back, I don't think. Twitter's gone. That's what we got now. So, I'm sorry. I keep getting text. I got to put the phone away. I posted last night. I said, basically, I don't remember exactly the question, and I'm not going to pick up my phone to read it. But this is basically my thought. They always, Rolling Stone magazine, other publications, other music things on the internet, I know these things are useless. They're meaningless. It doesn't matter. But this is my question. They always go, greatest guitarist of all time. It'll be like 10 greatest guitarists of all time, 50 greatest, 100 greatest. It doesn't matter how long the list is. Number one is always Jimi Hendrix. Number two might change. Number three might change. Four, five, six, seven, all the way through. There might be someone who played guitar in the 1930s, and then someone who put out an album last year makes the list. But no matter what, Jimi Hendrix is always number one. And I don't feel like you see that with anything else. It could be a drummer, a bass, a singer, an actor, an actress, and a wrestler. It could be anything. There's never a definite number one amongst everybody all the time. And so my question was, why is it always Jimi Hendrix? Why are we just like, as a society, like, oh, it's undoubtedly Jimi Hendrix was the greatest guitarist of all time. One of the comments was to me, have you ever listened to his music? As if to say, if I listened to it, then I would know why he's considered the greatest. I have listened to it a lot. I love it. I love Jimi Hendrix. This is, and even some people commented that, they were like, I don't like Jimi Hendrix either. That's not my issue. I love Jimi Hendrix. I thought his music was really fun. I really like so much of it. So it's not a question of, do I like it? Is it good? It's obviously good. And then other people said, oh, it's because, you know, three, four, and five all said Jimi Hendrix was the best. And maybe that's true. Maybe. But I feel like Eric Clapton, B.B. King, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jimi Hendrix, like they were all buddies. They all played. And people were calling Eric Clapton a hack in the comments. And I'm like, I don't know why we're attacking Eric Clapton now. I think Eric Clapton's great. He put out some really great music. I mean, his album, Layla and Other Assorted Love Songs with Dwayne Allman is some of the best guitar stuff I've ever heard. They even played Jimi Hendrix song Little Wing, I think as a tribute to Jimi Hendrix, but they also mixed it up in a way that I thought, well, that's very good. You know, Stevie Ray Vaughan, I'm not the biggest Stevie Ray Vaughan fan, but he really jams. Chet Atkins, I don't know. This guy's obviously very good, but my friend Stormy Warren, Chet Atkins, my friend Stormy Warren chimed in and said that he's the best guitarist of all time, hands down. And I listened to it. He's very good. There's a guy, I'm sure I'll mispronounce it, but it's Paco de Lucia. And I listened to that today. Never heard of him. Listened to it today. Really great. I loved it. But it's not this distortion type music. But I just wonder, you know, if you're watching this on YouTube, comment what you think, why you think this is. Other people said, and this is the most satisfactory answer, it's because they said up until Jimi Hendrix, this seems to be the answer. Up until Jimi Hendrix, guitar was played a certain way, and Jimi Hendrix changed the way guitar was played, and that anybody after that that we might consider the greatest was able to listen to what Jimi Hendrix did first. And I don't know what came first. I should have looked this up, but like the Beatles have that song, My Guitar Gently Weeps, which is a real jam, which is what there's a video going around lately of Tom Petty singing My Guitar Gently Weeps on what appears to be an award show and Prince playing the guitar. And it's a real jam. It's incredible. A lot of people said Prince is the greatest guitarist of all time. And maybe there is no greatest of all time. Maybe there's no way to quantify it. But even saying that, there's no way to quantify it. Why do we always put Jimi Hendrix number one? No matter what, why is he always number one? I just always find that weird. Anytime there's a new list that comes out, I used to be very interested in the list because I think it's fun. I like music. I used to really love Rolling Stone magazine. To get into Rolling Stone, in my mind, you know, 20 years ago was like the biggest thing you could do. It's amazing how media changed. I did, you know, a a Rolling Stone podcast this year, not long ago. And I think it was an article. I don't know if the podcast ever came out, but I know it was an article. I don't know if it was actually printed or just on the website, but it was fun. It was nice to get, and I was happy they asked me to do it, but it just feels like it does not well. It definitely doesn't have the impact that it once had. I mean, if I'd gotten a Rolling Stone article in 2005, I'd probably be the most famous comic going right now. Not that that's what I want. I just think it's interesting how the landscape changes all the time. Like, it almost like, because Rolling Stone has gotten so political, that they've almost devalued themselves to where it's like you're the experts on music. But now that music just seems to be dominated by the recording industry and record labels and maybe it's always been like that, but it just seems like nobody cares what Rolling Stone has to say. That's why it's so dangerous to get into politics. As entertainers, as artists, when you want to talk about politics and who you like, it's just like nobody cares. They just want you to entertain. Just be an entertainer. You're not, you know, and I know I get on here and I talk about things, but this is my own personal podcast, and I guess it's their magazine too, but I don't talk about politics. I talk about religion because I believe that we should all believe in Jesus, believe that Jesus saves, and that's how we get to heaven. That's how we help each other, is turning each other on to Jesus. That's how we stop being violent towards each other. That's how we stop being mean towards each other, is we just believe in Jesus. We accept Jesus into our lives, and then we all become better people as a byproduct of that. Does that mean you become a good person? Not necessarily, but you become a better version of who you are prior to that. Like, if you're just an awful, awful person and you accept Jesus, maybe you become just the best. Or maybe you're just better than you used to be. But I just think that's important. But so many of these political things, it's like it's all theater, you know what I mean? And it's just not worth ruining your brand over. And I think that's what they've done to an extent. While there is still very cool people that work there, and the people that, you know, filmed the podcast for me were very nice, and we had a great time, and we just talked comedy and music and things like that, and it was great. But a lot of that's been, you know, clouded out by other things. But my point is, I love to read these lists. And so whenever a new guitarist one comes out, I like to look at it because I like to see who they're throwing in the mix, because I'll learn about new guitarists and I'll go and listen to them and choose the music that I enjoy. But no matter what, it's always Jimi Hendrix number one. I think at this point we should retire Jimi Hendrix from list, accept that he's the greatest, retire him off list, and just see who else could earn that number one spot. Because if no one, like if he died, I don't know when he died, but let's say the late 60s, early 70s, let's say 1975, that means there's been 50 years that have gone by, and there's no one better. I think that's enough time for us to say, you know what, we're going to basically retire the Jimi Hendrix jersey, and he's no longer going to be on the list. That's what I vote for. And if you've not seen that video of Tom Petty and Prince playing the song My Guitar Gently Weeps, go see it. It's pretty awesome. I love Tom Petty. Tom Petty's one of my favorites of all time. I made the mistake of programming the channel, the Tom Petty channel on SiriusXM. SiriusXM, I love. I think it's the best way to get music now, other than like your own streaming devices. But what I mean is your own streaming devices, you pick the music that you want to listen to, and that's very nice and that's great. But what I like is the randomness of just putting on a channel. But I made the mistake of putting on the Tom Petty channel, and then I just listened to it all the time. And kind of ran it in the ground for me. He doesn't have a ton of stuff out there, and it kind of ran it into the ground for me. But it's really great. I got a Tom Petty song I want you to check out. It's on my Dusty Slay's country radio list on Spotify. And I don't know if it's really country, but it's called Crawling Back to You. And it's off the Wildflowers album. It's so great. Tom Petty, Crawling Back to You. It's one I never listened to. I never listened to it. I found it, and I love it. But the SiriusXM is great for just listening to, like, radio, like we used to listen to radio. It's really great. But that's all I got to say about that. That was too much. I crammed too much into that one little thing. But I got other stuff that I'm working on right now. Me and Connor just filmed sort of a video reaction kind of thing. I'm not trying to do that in place of the podcast. I'm just trying to do a couple of other video content things where we find some videos, we watch them, we react to them in real time, try to make some jokes. And an idea that we have, I'm going to create a new email. I haven't done this yet, and I don't want to give out an email that I haven't created yet. So for now, I'm just going to give you the old Dusty Slay comedy email and dustyslaycomedy@gmail.com. If you want to send video, maybe it's a video that you really like that you've seen on the internet. Maybe it's your own personal video. Maybe it's a clip of you doing stand-up that you'd like us to watch and react to. I'd love that. Just some kind of video, even if it's just a link, I think Connor can download it. But I just want to do something, you know, original. It's hard to find the clips, but I thought if you had your own personal stuff that you wouldn't mind us making fun of a little bit. I'm not into making fun of anything too much, but to some degree, but show the video, laugh at it, make jokes about it. That'd be really fun. dustyslaycomedy@gmail.com. We're going to try to start putting something together there, just something additional. I'm just trying to mix up the content. So that will be fun. If you have something that you want to do, I don't know when that'll come out, but Connor's working on some videos now. We mainly, watch some fail videos and some Family Feud clips, just some stuff like that. But if you got something, send it my way. I'd love to check it out. Let's see. I had an email, and I wanted to read that. I got a couple of things. Oh, this guy, Nate. I don't want to say his whole name, but he heard me talking about video games on Nateland and said, I played a lot of video games when I was younger. And like everyone, I started with Nintendo, then went to Sega, then Sega 32X, where I only played Doom, then Nintendo 64, and lastly, the GameCube. I think that Zelda Ocarina of Time was my favorite. I also really liked Blaster Master for original Nintendo. What are some of your favorites? Well, I was born in 1982, and I got sisters that are 9 and 11 years older than me. So when I first was, like, awakened to video games, I don't know how old I was, but it was Atari. Atari was what we were playing first. We were playing Pitfall and some kind of ghost game. And Pitfall is mainly what I remember. Pitfall was really great on Atari back then. It was a really good game. And there were a few other things. Frogger, I remember. And we played that. That was great. And then when regular Nintendo came out, whatever year that was that came out, I got one of those. I loved regular Nintendo. I loved all the Mario games. Excitebike was one of my favorites. I don't remember if Paperboy was Nintendo or Super Nintendo. But I had a game called Elevator Action. That was probably one of my favorite video games, Elevator Action. You were like a criminal, and you would zip line into the top of a building, and then you would try to work your way down, going through doors and different elevators while the cops were after you. That's about all I remember of that game. But then I also, I think Double Dragon was on it. Double Dragon was one of the best, amazing game. I'm sure there are many that I was forgetting. The thing about me, I always talk about growing up poor, right? But I mainly talked about it in stand-up. But since then, you know, I've said many times on podcast, I grew up in a trailer, but my mom had a pretty good job working at a factory that made VHS tapes. And I don't think our problem was that we didn't have any money. Our problem was we just spent it on fun things rather than buying a house. Like, my parents got divorced when I was 2 or 3, and my mom moved into a trailer park really close to where she used to work. And then she never got remarried from that, so she was a single mom, and I think she was making pretty good money. And she, my opinion, she just looked and said, well, I'm making this much money. If I just stay here in this trailer, I have a good bit of money to spend on just enjoying my life. And that's what we did. So I had a lot of video games. My mom would buy me video games. I remember going to some kind of like a Sears or JCPenney or some kind of store like that to buy Mario 2 when it came out. It was so exciting to get that game. And what a weird game it was. And then Mario 3 was unbelievable. You get the raccoon tail. Gosh, that was a great game. And then when Super Nintendo came out, I got Super Nintendo. And there were some other kids in my trailer park, Brandon and Greg Stepp, brothers. They had Sega. So I would go to their house and play Sega. We would play Sonic the Hedgehog, stuff like that. And I had Super Nintendo. I love Mario Kart, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. I mean, Super Nintendo was a real era of video games. And there were so many. I never really got into Zelda. I don't know why. That seems like that would be right up my alley. I loved... there used to be an arcade game where you could, it was basically like Lord of the Rings. You could be, you know, kind of the man, you could be the elf, you could be the dwarf, you could be, the woman, you know, though, like, I believe those were the choices, and you could play 4 people at the time on the arcade. I love that. So you would think Zelda would be up my alley, but for whatever reason, I think it was too advanced for me, a little confusing, maybe a little slow paced. I just never got into it. And then I got PlayStation. Now, this is a story I've told before on the podcast, but I had divorced parents, and, you know, so I would always have 2 Christmases. I would celebrate Christmas Eve with my mom, and then on Christmas Day, my dad would come pick me up. So we get 2 weeks out for school, so I would spend the first week out of school with my mom leading up to Christmas Day. So we would all open our presents on Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day I would wake up and get my Santa Claus gifts. And then my dad would come pick me up. So I would basically leave all my toys that I just got and then go to my dad's for the second week. And then, but we would get a whole other Christmas. But at my dad's house, you know, since my sisters were 9 and 11 years older than me, I mean, it was mainly my Christmas. The focus was on me at my mom's house. And then I would go to my dad's house, and I had 2 stepbrothers that were similar in age to me. So my stepbrother that was a year older than me and him would share a lot of gifts. So I remember the Christmas that the PlayStation was coming out. I told my mom that I wanted a PlayStation, and I told my dad I wanted a PlayStation. And about 2 days before Christmas Eve, my mom had wrote me a letter. And she gave me a present to open. And in the present was a letter that she wrote. And she was saying that she knew I really wanted the PlayStation, but she couldn't afford the PlayStation. So she hoped that these gifts would be okay. And it was two video games. Both for Super Nintendo. One was Wario's World, and the other was Zombies Ate My Neighbors, or something like that. And the Zombies game was awesome. You know, it was an emotional moment. Me and my mom hugged, and everybody was emotional, and I told her that, yes, this is fine. I love these games. I hated Wario. Wario was not a good game. I don't know if I understood Wario. But Zombies Ate My Neighbors was great. I was having a blast playing that game. And then on Christmas Eve, my mom goes, hey, I got a present for you to open. And when I opened it, it was a PlayStation. And I went nuts. I was like, this is so exciting. It was exciting. It was emotional manipulation. But yes, it was exciting. And it made me appreciate it. So then I go to my dad's. And my stepbrother wanted a Sega for whatever reason. Sega was fading out. We always had Super Nintendo at my dad's, and now Sega was fading out. Ooh, another highly anticipated game for Super Nintendo, Donkey Kong Country. I don't know. Who remembers that? When Donkey Kong Country came out, it was wild. It was a highly anticipated game and well worth it. I really, really liked it. I had a game, I think me and my stepbrother had a game called Jordan versus Bird. It was great. We had Tecmo Bowl. Maybe that was regular Nintendo. We had, so good. That was the finest era in gaming. But after Super Nintendo, what was coming next was Nintendo 64 and PlayStation. I had seen PlayStation at Walmart, and that's what I wanted. I was like, this is the future of gaming to me, and this is what I want. My stepbrother wanted a Sega. I didn't understand it. I couldn't understand it. Sega was the old system. It was fading out. Why he wanted this, to this day, I don't know. But so, I had just gotten a PlayStation at my mom's house. I was just excited as I could be. I played it for one night, and then my dad came and picked me up and took me to his house. So we get to his house, and we have two gaming-size console boxes under the Christmas tree. And my stepbrother opens his gift. It's a Sega. He loses his mind. He's so excited. And he should be. That's what he wanted. I got my gaming console-size box. I'm excited. I open it. It's a Sega. We both got Segas. And my dad was so excited to get me the Sega. Because I don't blame my dad, other than not believing me, but my dad was manipulated. I think my stepbrother wanted the Sega, and he told his mom that he wanted it. And so his mom, this is speculation by me, but his mom made up a thing and told my dad that, you know, they thought the PlayStation would be a good idea, but since it was in CDs, the CDs were getting scratched, so everybody was writing off PlayStation. PlayStation was out. It was a failed attempt at an idea. So my dad did not get me a PlayStation. He got me a Sega. So that week, I didn't open my Sega. I just played my stepbrother's Sega. I never opened mine. The rest of the week, we just played my stepbrother's Sega. And then when I got home, I took my Sega with me to my mom's. And when we got home, I told my mom, so we took the Sega back to Walmart. We returned it in exchange for store credit, and we bought two PlayStation games. And that's what I'm talking about. It was awesome. I don't remember what games I got with that money, but I know that one of the games that I had was Tekken. And to me, Tekken, I just talked to Aaron Weber about this a little bit, and he said that, you know, the graphics from PlayStation don't hold up as well as older games like Super Nintendo and regular Nintendo. And I don't know, but I know at the time, Tekken just was unreal. It felt a little 3D, and I loved that game so much. I loved my PlayStation. And also, in that next year, my dad and his wife got divorced. And so the next Christmas, my dad bought me a PlayStation. He came around. And but the PlayStation was great. And then that was really it for me. That's really where I jumped off. I never got Super Nintendo. I did have friends that had Super Nintendo and or Nintendo 64. And I would go, I actually had some friends that were, you know, they sold weed and their house was a real weed kind of hangout after high school. And we would go over there and smoke weed, and they had four controllers. And they had Nintendo 64, and they had GoldenEye, which I was never very good at, but it was a fun game. Obviously, one of the greatest of all time. They had Mario Kart, and they had a WWF, that's what it used to be called, WWF Royal Rumble, that you could do four controllers on. And, oh, yeah, and they had Smash Brothers. All great games. I played them. I had another friend who had a 64, and we played that a bunch. 64 was a great system. I just made the transition over to PlayStation. And then after high school, when I was living in my trailer and we were doing a lot of partying, one of my roommates for a time, or friend, I don't remember how it worked out, but he had a PlayStation 2, and he left it at my house, and we would play that a bunch. We would play PlayStation 2 a bunch. And Grand Theft Auto 3, one of the greatest games of all time. And then later, I bought a GameCube because I really liked The Sims. I played The Sims on computer, and then I bought a GameCube, and I played The Sims on GameCube. And then before I moved to Charleston, someone broke into my trailer. They stole my GameCube and did not steal The Sims. That's how much the thieves didn't like The Sims. They didn't even bother to steal it. They just stole my GameCube and my weed pipes. I tried to take The Sims back to Walmart, and they wouldn't take it, because it had been open. So I took it to Office Depot, where my mom worked at the time, and we shrink wrapped it. I don't know how you would say it, but we put shrink wrap around it. And then I took it back, and then they took it back. Walmart took it back once I had shrink wrapped it. Because I wasn't trying to, you know, rip Walmart off, but my system got stolen, so I wasn't going to buy another. And then I'm going through the whole history here. And then when I moved to Charleston, when I moved to the Sergeant Jasper, I bought an Xbox, partly because I wanted a DVD player, and then I thought playing some video games would be fun. I didn't have a ton of friends at the time, so I bought the first Red Dead Revolver and a game called Manhunt, and I really liked those. I had a lot of fun with that, but as I was 21 at that time, and as I started getting into drinking and partying and having friends, I stopped playing games. And I've basically never played games again. I did play the computer game Age of Empires. I played that probably up until about 2006. I had that vid, Age of Empires 3. I had that on computer, and I liked that a lot. I like that game so much that I'm tempted to buy a PC, because I'm all Mac now, but I'm tempted to buy a PC just so I can play it. But I've said that for about 10 years, and I've never done it. So I don't know that I ever will, but I really liked it. And that's it. 2005 was about where I cut off video games. So that's 20 years ago. Now, I played them here and there. I stayed at a comedy condo one time in Seaside, Florida, doing some shows. And one of the guys that lived there had a PlayStation 2 or 3 or 4. I don't know what number we're on now. And he had the latest Grand Theft Auto game. And I remember playing that. And then when I got home, I was living in the rat house. And one of my roommates had one. And I got him to leave it in the living room so I could play that game. And then I sat alone in there and played that game for a couple hours, and it got pretty dark and I got sad and I go, all right, that's it. So that's my whole history with video games. And I wanted to talk about the Mississippi River. And then I got one other thing I want to talk about. Oh, I saved that on my computer and not on my phone. So I won't have the details that I need, but Mississippi has a beach. They have oceanfront property. They have the beach, but you never hear anybody talk about getting in the ocean in Mississippi. I never hear about people going, yeah, I took my family to the beach of Mississippi. And I'm not making fun of Mississippi here. This is just never something I hear. Louisiana, you don't hear about it either, but Louisiana is almost like, you almost like write it off because you hear about so much swamp stuff in Louisiana that you just kind of assume that they don't really have beach in Louisiana. And I don't know if that's true, but that's just kind of my assumption. It's like, oh, maybe they don't even have beach in Louisiana because they have, a lot of swamps and Everglades or whatever. But you do hear about beaches in Alabama. I go to the beach in Alabama, Dauphin Island, Gulf Shores. I think they're beautiful beaches. I really enjoy them. And then I realized this trip why that's the case for Mississippi. It's because the Mississippi River ends at the ocean in Mississippi. And in Louisiana, for that matter. And I just was thinking about that, and I was like, whoa, that's extreme, because the Doobie Brothers have the song, "Whoa, Blackwater, keep on rolling, Mississippi moon, won't you keep on?" And I assume they're talking about the Mississippi River, and they Blackwater, and it's just a really muddy river. There's a lot of songs about it. And then Mississippi River runs from, I believe it starts in Minneapolis, which is a huge city, St. Paul, and it runs through cities like St. Louis, which was huge cities. St. Louis has become like dangerous, in the last little while, but my understanding is it used to be one of the hugest, biggest cities. And then you go on down through Memphis and then through New Orleans before dumping out into the ocean. And I just think, and then I believe there's seven other rivers, the Missouri River being one of them, which is the longest river in the country, connects to the Mississippi, and then six other rivers beside that also connect to the Mississippi. So it's just like this main artery of stuff. So you can imagine what that water is seeing and experiencing before it gets dumped out into the ocean. So that's got to be the worst part to go swimming. I just think, what a dirty, dirty spot to go. And it's unfortunate for Mississippi. And I don't know why I wanted to talk about that. I just thought I would have so much more to say about it. But just think of all that sees. Some people believe, I get into some real TikTok wormhole sometimes. I've not been doing much of it lately, but I do get into some stuff. Some people believe that America is like the biblical lands. They believe that where we're at now is where all the things from the Bible took place. I'm not saying I believe it. I'm just saying this is a theory that's out there. And that the Mississippi River is the Nile River, and that the Bible says that the Nile River has seven tributaries, and that the actual Nile, the river we're calling the Nile now, doesn't have those, and that the Mississippi River does have those. And then you have, you know, cities along the river that are named after Egyptian cities, Memphis being one, which has the second largest pyramid in the world. And then you have, Cairo, which is like Cairo. And I don't know, there's a few others. And I just think that's interesting. I'm not saying I believe it, but I'm also saying I don't believe it. I just think it's interesting. And so I don't know, but the Mississippi River, you know, it's got some, it's an interesting river, you know, it's a very, you know, runs all the way through the country. And it seems, if you look at a map, I mean, I don't know, I'm not studying the history of it, but if you look at the map, it seems to just start at some point. I don't know how that's possible, how a river just starts, but where is even the water coming from? You ever go to Niagara Falls and see how much water is constantly dumping off that river, off that mountainside? Where's that water coming from? Just coming from the earth, up from the earth? Like the little creek that we have in McMinnville on our property, it like just comes out of the mountain. This water just comes out of the mountain. From where? It's wild. Some people believe that we're not running out of water. We're in no danger of running out of water. Now, I guess we could be in danger of our water being completely poisoned. But the water is never-ending and comes from under the earth. And people also believe that about oil. I don't believe that oil is fossil fuels. I believe that that makes zero sense. The fact that I think that if dinosaurs covered the whole earth and then were covered in a flood and then their bodies decomposed, I think we would have been out of that oil a long time ago. The amount of oil that we use, I think we'd have been done with that a long time ago. They believe that oil is just like the blood of the earth and that it's also never ending, much like water. And I kind of think I believe that, that blood is, or oil is the blood of the earth. Like the earth is alive. You know, it's not an animal, but it's like alive, and that's the blood of it. I don't know. I just think that's an interesting theory. I like it. Oh, I got another message. I want to read this message. I have another thing I want to talk about, but I got another message. Let's see if I can find this one. I really like this one. I appreciated this one. It says, hey, Dusty, I know you don't care much for dogs. And I just want to, again, state, it's not that I don't like dogs. I do like dogs. I like to pet a dog. I love to see a happy dog. I just think that we're completely out of control with dogs. In the moment you say it, people go, oh, you hate dogs. And then they go, oh, anybody, my mama used to say, anybody that hates dogs can't be trusted. And it's like, well, your mom's probably in jail. I don't know who your mom is to be like, oh, my mom used to say. It's like, all right, well, let us know who your mom is. Give us a list of characteristics of your mom that make her opinion valid in this discussion. Don't hate dogs. My grandmother used to say that she thinks it should be illegal to sell dogs like that. Because what happens is when dogs are for sale, people make money off dogs. And then there's very little regulation on that. So people just start breeding dogs. And then there becomes an overabundance of dogs. And then you have these purebred dogs out here, and then nobody wants what we used to call a mutt. And for some reason, one day that term became offensive. That's just what we called a dog where you didn't know what kind of dog it was. It had a lot of different breeds to it. It wasn't a purebred, it was a mutt. And everybody gets mad about that term now. I don't understand that. But I think it should be illegal to breed dogs. I do believe this, and sell them. Because if that were the case, you wouldn't have to adopt these dogs out here. It might be even hard to get a dog. And I think that's where we should be at. There's too many dogs. Everybody has too many dogs. Not everybody has too many, but a lot of people have too many. Okay. And I'm going to continue with this message. I didn't mean to go on that tangent. I know you don't care much for dogs, but I think this was a neat thing to share with you. 5 months ago, I rescued a sad little old beagle out of a shelter. He had a bunch of problems, but is healthier now and has made progress in a lot of different ways. One thing he struggles with is anxiety, specifically separation anxiety. I got to tell you, I was at this part of the message when I was rolling my eyes a bit, but it really turns around. I've tried a lot of different things that claim to help with that, but one thing that relaxes him and calms him down is your podcast. And this is where I started to turn around on the whole thing. Okay? It must be the tone of your voice and the way you sound. You can physically see him relax and be calm when I turn it on, eventually almost lulling him to sleep. This is what I've always said about this podcast. This is a podcast to fall asleep to. I'm not offended when people say that. I want this to be a podcast he can fall asleep to. He's made progress with not being as scared and anxious as he was when I first got him. But times where something has triggered that fear and anxiety in him, I say, "It's okay, you're fine, here, let's listen to Dusty." He hears that intro music and your voice through the speaker and boom, stops shaking and relaxes in minutes. It's a blessing to have found something that helps him. Also, I thought about naming him Dusty when I got him, but I ended up sticking with the name the shelter gave him, Cornelius. LOL. Me and Corny, thank you for your podcast. Well, you're welcome. Mandy, you're welcome. Thank you for that email. And I'm sorry for those tangents that I went on in the midst of reading your message. I appreciate it. That is what I want. And you know what? I do care about dogs. It really bothers me when I think about and I hear about a dog being abused. I really, really hate it. I hate any kind of animal abuse. I'm really against it. I've told the story that when I was a kid, I accidentally ran over a turtle with my lawnmower and I took it to the vet to try to get it fixed. It made me sad. I ran over a snake with my lawnmower not long ago out in McMinnville. I prayed about it. I was sad about it. I didn't want to kill this snake. I hate hurting animals. I went hunting with my dad not long ago. Well, years ago. I've never killed a deer. I've killed various animals hunting, but I've never killed a deer. Small things like doves and squirrels and fish. That may be about it. But I've never killed a deer. And I really wanted to. I felt like at some point, I felt like that was a stage in my manhood that I needed to do. And then I was sitting in the woods, I was asking myself, would I even be able to do it now? I'm not against hunting. But because I've made comments about hunting in the past and people have gotten upset with me, I'm not against it. I'm just saying, I don't know if I could do it. And it's not that I think it's wrong. It's that I just don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could do it. That's how much I love animals. But I just think animals are animals, you know? Animals are not humans. They don't need to go everywhere with us all the time. They don't, and you know, and people can disagree. Growing up, you see, I would see a man with his dog in the truck. It was fun. I liked it because it was rare. It was rare to see somebody riding around with a dog in their truck. It was fun to see. But now everybody's riding around with their dogs. They're taking dogs on planes. Everybody, they got their little vest on the dog. This is my emotional support dog. And Everywhere you go, everybody's house you go to, it's filled with dogs. I just think it's an insane dog culture that we live in now. That's all. I'm not mad at you for doing it. It's your life. You do whatever you want to do. But I think I'm against selling dogs. I think everybody, when you want a dog, go get one from the pound. Try to get a small one. Try to find a friend who has an extra. Just get that dog. And no pit bulls, guys. Stop it with this pit bull thing. People sent me some videos about pit bulls. About they had them and they love them. I get it. You love it. I'm not mad at you for having it. But I wouldn't come over to your house if I found out that you had them. They're wild. They're wild dogs. I know they're sweethearts. Until they're not. But we're having a good time. You get whatever dog you want. But don't let it chew the leg off of an old person. You know? Don't let it attack your kids. You don't need me to lecture you about it. We're having a good time here. This is my last thing I want to talk about. I've been watching Marvel movies again. I have Disney Plus. I'm against Disney. I'm anti-Disney. But I do have Disney Plus. And I've always liked the Marvel movies. I watched all the Marvel movies up until Endgame, and I just loved them. I know it may be childish, but I loved them. I did love them. I thought they were very fun. And then I kept watching them, and I started thinking that these movies are not good now. And it made me believe that they were never good and that I was in some childish phase of my life and that now I'm over it, that I have Marvel fatigue or comic book fatigue, as people have called it. And I stopped watching them for a while. And then I went back and watched that old Ang Lee Hulk. I forget the main guy in it, but great cast. I've already talked about it. Really good Hulk movie. Eric Bana was the guy. And I loved it. And I thought, well, that's cool. I'm glad. I was like, this is a great movie. And then I went and I watched the Edward Norton Hulk. And it got me real fired up. And I was like, you know what? I'd like to watch all the Marvel movies in order again. So Hulk was not the first. Iron Man was the first. So I got a little out of order there, but they came out in the same year. So I did Hulk, and then I did the first Iron Man. And then I did the first Thor, and then I did the second Iron Man, and then I did Captain America, and then I did Avengers. I did all of those, and I was like, man, that was really great. I really enjoyed it. You know, I do this when I'm on planes. I download movies, and I watch them on planes. I don't really use any of my other free time to do it, but on a plane, I like doing it. And I was like, man, these are all great. And so I thought, you know what? I'm back in now. I'm going to watch one of the new ones. So I went and watched Captain America, Brave New World, with Anthony Mackie and Harrison Ford. And I liked Anthony Mackie as Falcon. I really liked his character as Falcon. When he was Captain America's buddy, I really liked it. And then I watched Captain America Winter Soldier during COVID, and I hated that show. I thought that show really sucked. I thought Anthony Mackie as Captain America, he was just whining the whole time. Such a whiny guy in it. And I was like, jeez. So then I go, and that's why I didn't want to watch Captain America Brave New World, but I watched it, and I thought the same thing again. I just don't like him as Captain America. And you know what else I didn't like? And Harrison Ford is playing the General Ross character, but he's now President Ross. I don't like him as that. I liked Sam Elliott as General Ross in the Ang Lee movie, and I liked the other guy, whoever the other guy was that played him in the Ed Norton Hulk. I like that General Ross. Harrison Ford, oh gosh, I'm so done with him. He's one of the greatest. One of the greatest. Han Solo, Indiana Jones, The Fugitive. He's one of the best. But he's done now. I'm done with Harrison Ford now. He's not good in this. And Anthony Mackie is not good either. And it's not, I don't think it's Anthony Mackie's fault. because I like him. I don't think it's his fault. I think it's the direction they're trying to take Captain America. He's not a superhero, first off. Sam Wilson, I think is his name. He's not a superhero. He doesn't have any superhero powers. He just has wings and a shield. You can't, and then Harrison Ford turns into the Red Hulk. You don't take on the Hulk if you're not a superhero. I didn't like it. It's not good. The next one that I'm going to watch, I'm just saying, it's not good. And I don't know why they're doing it. Because they know how to make good ones. Just make good ones. And then, the next one I'm going to watch is, I forget even what it's called, but it's a new one with, I don't know, a bunch of people. The Winter Soldier is one of the people, and it's a bunch of people, and they're like superheroes, and they're going to, you know, they're like a team. I think they're calling them like the New Avengers or something. I don't know, but I'm sure it's going to be bad, but I am going to watch it. And then I think I'm going to go back to watching the other. But, you know, the Marvel movies reached this dark phase. And I think that after the Avengers, the first one, is where it starts to enter the dark phase, where it's like Thor is in a dark world. There's Iron Man We thought it was going to be Ben Kingsley was going to be the bad guy, and then he ends up being like just an actor, which was real disappointing. Iron Man 3, I didn't like that much, but so I don't know that I'll make it through them. But everything leading up to Avengers is really good. It's really good. And it felt like everybody was happy and they were excited and everybody wanted to be a part, and it was great. But they lost it. They lost it. And it's too bad. And I would love to hear people's thoughts on that. Do you like it? Do you like the direction that Marvel is going? What are your thoughts on it? Who's your favorite guitarist of all time? I feel like, you know, you never see J.J. Cale up in the mix. I think J.J. Cale's great. He's just jamming. Neil Young's great, right? And maybe they're on these lists. But why do they never become the greatest? Why do they not get to be the greatest? I think this is a good podcast. I mean, I know it's my podcast, and I recorded it. And I guess I shouldn't say that a podcast that I did was good. But I do think it was. Oh, well, let me read this. I wrote this, and I was watching these people at the airport. I'm just going to read it. Or maybe I'll kind of... There was this couple at the airport. I saw them. I was sitting in... I'm over now. I'm over an hour. But I was sitting in this seat. I got there. I get there. Oh, gosh, I get to the airport so early. I get to the airport, and my gate is not even advertising that my flight will be coming out of there yet. So I'm sitting there. Everything's pretty empty. And then this couple comes, and they don't sit next to each other. They sit across from each other, and then they put their drinks on another seat. So the two of them are taking up four seats. It's fine because it's pretty empty. But they're also talking to each other from across the way, and I was just sitting there in peace, listening to my headphones, and now I got to hear them talking. And, you know, they're both dressed fairly well, and they're both fairly attractive people. The guy is pretty jacked, shaved head, 5 o'clock shadow. He's got like a skull, like a shirt over his shoulders that he's tied, looking like kind of preppy, but he's in athletic shorts, like he could be golfing. And then the girl is like, seems like she was very attractive back in the day, but she's got kind of that, those jerky moves that people have when they've done too many drugs at some point in their life. And they're just talking to each other, and they're talking to each other about real estate, I imagine. She goes, what was that house? What was it at four? Oh, no, she goes, what was it? 465 when we took it off the market? You know, talking to each other like that, but loud enough so other people can hear. Like making it, like it was to me like people that had never had money but now have money and want people to know it, or people that don't have money and want you to think that they have money. And I don't know. I was just so annoyed by them. And and maybe I'm wrong about them. You know, maybe I shouldn't have been judging them. I don't know why I wrote it down, but I was just watching them. And I was just like, there's something about these people. I just need to take note of this. This needs to be, I don't know, other people need to hear about these people. And I don't know why I felt that way, but I was just so annoyed by them. Oh, also, last thing. I voted the Charlotte airport the worst airport in the country, worst major airport in the country. And then I realized that it's the E-gates, it's the E-wing of the airport that's just horrible. The rest of the airport's okay, but I didn't want to go back and correct it, but I thought I'd say it on here. It's just another complaint I had on X. The E-terminal is completely falling apart and is total garbage. The rest of the airport's doing fine. It's too crowded, and they don't have a lot of good food options, but it's okay. I just wanted to say that. All right, listen, guys, this is a fun, fun podcast. Tonight, I'll be in Auburn. Next week, the 12th and the 13th, I'll be in Binghamton, New York, and Buffalo, New York. And then the 19th and the 20th, I'll be in Reading, Pennsylvania, and Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And then my last show of September will be at Zanies, September 30th. Thank you very much. We're having a good time.